48 Hours Mystery.
He has a magnetism about him. He put you under a spell.
Garrett Wilson was known as a charming family man.
He was a father who adored his little girl.
But was it all just a lie?
Garrett Wilson is a con artist, motivated by greed.
There's little Garrett Jr., isn't he cute?
His ex-wife insists he killed their baby.
I screamed, "Garrett, what did you do to him?" Garrett killed the baby for insurance money.
Is this grieving mother out for justice or revenge?
If Garrett Wilson had never left Missy, this never would have come forward.
I think that she became obsessed with his destruction.
Peter Van Sant investigates. Is Garrett Wilson an adoring father or a cold-blooded killer?
Are you absolutely convinced that Garrett is an innocent man?
You can't be a murderer one day and a loving father the next day.
What really happened to this little boy?
Garrett murdered the baby.
Dramatic new developments in the case. While Innocent Slept, a 48 Hours Mystery.
I'm Leslie Stahl. Garrett Wilson seemed like the ideal family man. A devoted father, a man liked by other men, and loved by women. But under the surface, there were hidden layers of a complex life and disturbing allegations involving passion, greed, violence, and death. Peter Van Sant reports on the search for answers as Garrett Wilson's ordinary life begins to unravel.
I knew the kind of father that he was to my child.
Hi, Daddy.
Smile for me, honey.
He was a daddy.
Yeah.
He was not just a father, he was a daddy.
I love you.
Love you.
According to Vicki Wampler of Frostburg, Maryland, 45-year-old Garrett Wilson was more than just a daddy.
He was a father who adored his little girl.
Put your hand right here.
He was the perfect father. To their little girl, Marissa.
He was just engrossed in raising his daughter. That was the most important thing in his life.
A life that Garrett began in 1994 when he married Vicki, his fourth wife.
It was like I'd found my soulmate, and he felt the same way.
Garrett was a successful salesman whose true passion was music.
Garrett's musical ability is astounding. He has a remarkable ear and a remarkable natural ability.
And he used that ability to sell high-ticket musical instruments.
He's a dynamic personality. He has a magnetism about him.
And you were building a great life together.
As close to Ozzie and Harriet as any two people could be.
An ideal family until Garrett Wilson's past caught up with him. And this ideal father stood accused of committing an unspeakable crime.
Most people couldn't imagine doing it. And most people couldn't imagine somebody else being that diabolical.
Montgomery County Prosecutor Doug Gansler.
Very few people would be able to do that. Garrett Wilson was.
Has she talked to the police?
In 1999, he set out to prove that Garrett Wilson was a killer.
I think he is a cold-blooded evil killer.
Evil enough to kill his own child.
I'll never have what I thought I wanted to have out of my life, which was my son, my baby.
Missy Anastasi was Garrett's third wife. She married him in 1986.
What's the matter?
I didn't think I needed to be afraid of him during the time of the baby's life.
But she has no doubt now that back in 1987,
Garrett murdered the baby.
Garrett smothered their five-month-old baby boy, his own namesake.
Garrett Michael.
Garrett Michael.
And this man had no reason other than money for doing it.
Insurance money that Gansler claims gave Garrett motive.
Garrett Michael never had any health problems whatsoever. He was clearly energetic and playful. I have children and think to myself, how could somebody do this?
You're going to be 3 months old next week.
Yes!
You've done almost everything, haven't you?
This is a story that boggles the imagination.
but this is a true story.
And it captured the attention of true crime writer Adrian Haville of Reston, Virginia.
What is it about this story that appealed to you?
We don't want to believe that a seemingly normal human being
Hello?
Could commit the worst crime in the world. It's a mystery.
In his book, While Innocence Slept, Haville set out to unravel that mystery.
If you were meeting with Garrett Wilson for the first time and you looked into his eyes, you wouldn't see a murderer.
I just can't believe that he could have done it.
John Farley has known Garrett Wilson.
We lived a block apart.
Since they were both in high chairs.
It's the first buddy picture, huh?
That's right.
They are still best friends.
We spent enough time together to be brothers, that's for sure.
The Garrett I know is caring. He's loving. He has this ability to make you feel like you're the most important person in the world.
And John insists Garrett cherished his baby boy.
With Garrett Michael, he had that opportunity to go through all of those things that he didn't have as a child. He very dearly loved Garrett Michael.
You're sure he's innocent?
I'm as sure as I can be.
Look at that face.
He would tell other people that he hated the baby. He wished the baby wasn't born.
This is a man who was willing to kill his own flesh and blood, his own infant.
There's Mom.
I wouldn't have known that this man that had cared for me the way he did.
Where is he?
And pretended to care for the baby was planning to kill his child.
I know that he's not capable of killing a child, so I can't be suspicious because I can't believe that he did it.
Hi, darling.
For Vicky,
be careful now.
Their daughter Marissa, who is now 9, was proof that Garrett is innocent.
He cannot be the loving father that he was to Marissa and not be the same father to his son.
Are you absolutely convinced that Garrett is an innocent man?
I'm absolutely convinced. I know who he is. I saw him as a father, as a husband, and he's truly a good person.
What kind of a man is Garrett Wilson?
He's not a man. He's just an evil being.
You can't be two people.
Appropriate for me, contradiction.
You can't be a murderer one day and a loving father and a giving person the next day.
But is Garrett Wilson capable of being both? That's next.
I was in love with him. I thought he was wonderful. He wanted to have a family, and I thought it would be great.
Missy Anastasi of Rockville, Maryland, thought she had found her soulmate when she became Garrett Wilson's third wife in 1986.
He was offering me the life that I thought I really wanted.
A family life.
I was very happy I was going to have a baby, and I had a wonderful husband.
Garrett was a successful music store salesman.
The perfect life.
I thought. I did.
A life made perfect just a year after their wedding with the arrival of their baby.
Dad can hold him.
He seemed to be so excited to have the baby. Definitely. It was never a question whether he wanted the child or not.
A son.
Daddy and Junior.
That Garrett proudly named after himself.
There's little Garrett Junior. Isn't he cute?
In the hospital, he held the baby. He fed the baby in front of me.
But when they brought their baby home, Missy claims Garrett showed little interest in his son.
Where's your daddy?
I said, Garrett, you seem really withdrawn from the baby lately. And he said, well, I want to make sure he's going to be around a while before I get close to him. And I thought, why is he thinking something is going to happen to this baby?
But Missy chose to dismiss Garrett's odd behavior until early one morning when their baby woke up crying.
I jumped up like I always did to go and feed the baby, and Garrett literally dissuaded me, talked me out of getting up and going. He said, I'll do it.
Had Garrett ever fed the baby prior to that?
He didn't ever wake up in the middle of the night and be wide awake or in the early morning. And this particular morning, he was awake.
So Missy stayed in bed while Garrett went into the baby's room.
and I heard a padding noise over the monitor. And then the next thing I heard was a...
Who made that sound?
I don't know what it was, but I know that it wasn't a good sound.
Alarmed, Missy hurried out of bed.
And I had two cats that had been jumping on me, so I gave them some food in a moment.
And by the time she got to the baby...
I felt him and he didn't feel right. And I screamed, Garrett, what did you do to him?
Garrett had gone back to their bedroom.
He opened the door and his face was as white as a sheet. And I'm screaming, call 911, and he never moved.
Paramedics arrived and rushed the baby to the emergency room.
So we went out to the car and Garrett stopped and took the time to unlock the car, pull the seats up, reach in the back and take the baby seat out. And I'm thinking, he knows the baby's not coming home. He's done something to him.
Within the hour, 5-month-old Garrett Michael was pronounced dead at the hospital.
I wanted to die. I didn't think I could survive.
Did you and Garrett ever have an emotional outpouring over the death of Garrett Michael?
I was waiting for Garrett to say, this wasn't supposed to happen, to get some kind of a reaction from him. He never did that.
What Garrett did several weeks later shocked Missy once again.
He brought money home in a brown paper bag and threw it on the bed where I was sleeping. And I said, what is this? And he said, it's some insurance money.
Did Garrett talk to you about life insurance for your new baby boy?
One day he came home and just said, I bought life insurance on the baby today. But never in a million years at that point would I have ever thought that Garrett was planning to kill his child.
But that's exactly what Missy suspected after Garrett Michael's death.
And she asked me, would Garrett be capable of killing Garrett Michael?
John Farley is Garrett's best friend.
The Garrett that I know couldn't and wouldn't do that.
It's an extraordinary question to ask, though. Because who would ever even go there with that thought?
I think she was just questioning anything she could question.
But after the baby's autopsy, the medical examiner's conclusion helped put an end to Missy's questions.
Garrett Michael had died as a result of sudden infant death syndrome.
Dr. Charles Kokas supervised the autopsy.
This case was no different from dozens of others in that regard.
Even when experts found swelling in Garrett Michael's brain, which can be evidence of foul play.
Brain swelling by itself is not a suspicious finding. If you had a bruise to the side of the head...
Like a blow to the head.
Correct. You could connect the two.
But Garrett Michael showed no signs of injury.
So you noted the brain swelling, but it was still consistent with sudden infant death syndrome.
Yes. There were no other issues or findings that indicated this was anything other than a natural death.
This was a classic case of sudden infant death syndrome.
So Missy put her suspicions to rest and decided to stay with Garrett.
I said, okay, these professionals are telling me this. Maybe there's something that I don't know. I accepted at the moment that if there was an autopsy, there could be no foul play.
And for the next 7 years, Missy says she did everything she could to make her marriage to Garrett work.
My personality has always been, you've been through this much, you see it through.
But it wasn't easy. They lived apart for months at a time, while Garrett moved from state to state, from one sales job to another.
Why did you stick with him during all this?
He still called. That was the most amazing thing. I'm thinking in my mind, he has no reason to keep up with me, except that he cares about me, like he says he does.
Then, in 1993, out of the blue, Missy learned that Garrett had secretly filed for divorce.
And so, I was divorced.
But incredibly, Garrett told her that he regretted having divorced her and wanted to give their relationship a second chance.
He put you under a spell.
And a year later, Missy agreed to join him in Texas, where he had found a high-paying job.
He told me 2 or 3 times he'd put money down on houses for us.
But just weeks before her move...
The phone rang, and this woman says, Missy, I hope you don't hang up before I tell you who I am.
Coming up, the threatening phone call that made Missy realize
this man is as horrible as I suspected.
Garrett was capable of anything.
He said, Missy, you'd be dead if you were here.
That's next.
I loved him as much as you think you can love anyone. He was exhilarating to be around.
In 1994, Missy Anastasi was about to join her ex-husband, Garrett Wilson, in Texas, where he had promised they would start a new life together.
He said, just give me 3 months to get established and you'll be out there.
But just weeks before her move, the phone rang.
And this woman says, Missy, I hope you don't hang up before I tell you who I am.
Vicki Wampler,
she truly thought that she was moving to Texas,
was at the other end of the line.
I wanted to call and say, it's time to move on.
It was a shocking call that made Missy realize,
everything that I've ever expected of Garrett is true.
Her life with Garrett had been a sham.
I was crying. I mean, I was devastated. My whole life again was turned upside down.
Earlier that year, Garrett had married Vicki, his fourth wife, and they had settled into a comfortable life just outside Dallas.
We were just a normal, everyday family.
Complete with their then 10-month-old daughter, Marissa.
So he'd had this entire other relationship,
right.
Gotten married, had a child,
mm-hmm.
And you didn't know.
Right, not only that, he called me on Mother's Day during that time when he had a young baby with another woman, saying he was thinking about Garrett Michael.
Garrett Michael, their baby boy who had died 7 years earlier of what doctors said was sudden infant death syndrome. But now, Missy wasn't so sure.
I saw it repeated in my head. The baby's death, he did it, he's responsible for it. This man is as horrible as I suspected then.
And when Garrett called Missy to explain his new marriage, she accused him of murdering their son.
And I said, Garrett, now that I see what you're capable of doing to me, I know you killed my baby. And he said, Missy, you'd be dead if you were here.
She said, oh no. Everything everyone told me, they're wrong. I'm the one that's been right all along.
Detective Dominic.
Homicide Detective Meredith Dominic.
And she came to the police.
Just how cold a case was this when you got it?
This baby died in 1987. There was no police involvement. Now I was dealing with 7 years later. And I was thinking, what is up with this?
She wasn't sure that it was going to go anywhere.
But Missy was determined to push the case forward.
I couldn't have not done something when a man has murdered my child.
And she spent the next 4 years writing hundreds of letters to countless officials from Maryland, asking them for help.
I wrote to the governor. Then I decided to write to the attorney general's office.
She was absolutely relentless. She stayed after the police.
Montgomery County prosecutor Doug Gansler.
If Garrett Wilson had never left Missy, this never would have come forward before, because she had lock, stock, and barrel believed in him.
It's when Missy realized what he was capable of and thought there was a life at stake.
Missy told me that I needed to protect my daughter.
I said, you better get your kid out of there because I know he killed my baby.
Maybe this woman had a real warning for you.
He's just not capable of hurting a child.
Vicki believes Missy went to the police not for justice, but for vengeance.
This type of relationship had gone on for years. He moved and she followed pursuit. When she realized that he wasn't coming back to her, I think that she became obsessed with his destruction.
She would go to the ends of the earth and spend her entire life until she destroys him.
Liz Ballman is yet another woman from Garrett's past. She encountered Missy back in 1985, before Garrett and Missy were married.
How would you describe Missy?
Very vengeful, very angry, incredibly jealous.
That summer, Liz recalls witnessing this jealousy when Missy caught her with Garrett on a date.
It was obvious that she was absolutely enraged.
And at this beach along the Delaware coast, both women discovered that for months, Garrett had secretly been dating them simultaneously.
I was angry. I was upset.
She was carrying her sandals and she hit him with the sandals several times.
And I sort of tapped him on the shoulder and here came this woman to rescue.
Was it just a little tap?
Oh, I probably, you know, what would you do?
What Liz remembers Missy doing next led to a high-speed car chase on this highway.
Almost like a chase scene in a movie.
Garrett and Liz had left the beach in separate cars, and Liz says Missy was following them in a third car.
She started to try to come between the two cars.
And I saw him turn to her and he said, "She's crazy." And I'm not crazy, and I know I'm not crazy. So that really irritated me. So I think we did a little ride down the highway.
It's like she didn't even want his car anywhere near mine. It was very frightening. I went off onto the shoulder several times.
Oh, jeez. No, I don't think so.
No?
I'm sure I didn't. I'm not violent.
I was very afraid of this woman.
That day at the beach, Garrett told Liz that he had intended to end their relationship and be with Missy. But by sunset, he had changed his mind.
Seeing the side of her that he saw at the beach scared him. He didn't want any more to do with her.
And you still stuck with him.
It was a perfect relationship until that day.
And a few months later, Garrett proposed to Liz.
You can actually see the ring in that one.
But shortly after their wedding invitations went out, Liz discovered that Garrett had already married Missy.
The wedding of their daughter, Elizabeth Gardner, to Garrett Eldred Wilson will not take place. It was devastating. It was painful.
What was your last moment with Garrett?
In the course of our relationship, I had accumulated about $3,000 in debt. In all of this, I said, "You're going to pay me back." And he said, "Absolutely."
Garrett finished paying Liz soon after his baby boy died.
Garrett Wilson is a con artist. He is motivated by greed, and the vehicle to get his greed is women.
Women seem to be caught under his spell.
Yes.
What was it about Garrett?
He treated you like a queen, like you were the only person on earth that mattered.
He would certainly prey on a particular type of woman. A needy woman, someone who would be sort of taken in by him. And they didn't want to believe the downside. They didn't want to believe the dark side.
Today, after all the heartache and pain Garrett had caused her, Liz still insists.
No, he's not capable of murder.
Has he been a con man? Has he been a womanizer? I have no doubt. But that doesn't make him a killer.
But years of investigation led police to believe otherwise.
We were moving forward. This was going to be a case. This was a homicide case.
And the evidence against Garrett Wilson
sent chills down my spine.
Was building.
You're not going to believe it. There's not just one policy, there's two.
Police found a second life insurance policy on his son.
There were a lot of dots to connect. We were able to connect them.
And a second baby from his past who had died mysteriously.
And it painted a horrible picture.
Garrett Wilson is a charmer. It makes him a good salesman, a reliable provider, and a magnet for women. When Wilson's son dies in his crib, it's officially called a case of sudden infant death syndrome. But his ex-wife, Missy, is convinced it's murder. A suspicion heightened when she learns about another baby from Wilson's secret past who had also met a tragic fate. Peter Van Sant picks up the story as Garrett Wilson's charmed life is beginning to lose its magic touch.
He had a love for money. He liked to show it. He liked to flash it. He liked to spend it. There was a passion about it.
Homicide detective Meredith Dominick of Rockville, Maryland, says Garrett Wilson was driven by greed.
Money was the object for him.
Was he willing to commit murder?
Yes.
To get money?
Yes.
What investigators uncovered by 1997
sent chills down my spine.
Convinced them that Garrett had murdered his own baby boy for insurance money.
This was going to be a case. This was a homicide case.
And Garrett himself handed police a critical piece of evidence when he revealed,
you're not going to believe it, there's not just one policy, there's two.
That he had taken out a second life insurance policy on his five-month-old, Garrett Michael, who had died in 1987 of what doctors said was sudden infant death syndrome.
A $100,000 policy that you didn't know about until that moment.
Absolutely. Missy didn't know about that second policy.
Missy Anastasi, the baby's mother and Garrett's third wife.
He was not going to walk in the next room and kill my son and get away with it for as long as I had a breath.
She went to the police and accused Garrett of killing their son in 1994. After she discovered that her ex-husband had secretly married another woman and started a new family.
She was not going to allow him to move on in his life and be happy because she knew that he was happy.
Vicki Wampler, Garrett's fourth wife and his strongest defender.
Missy lost her husband, and I see her as vindictive. This was vengeance.
Learning about that second policy on Garrett Michael that Missy did not know about took away from the jilted woman. It took away from her being angry and I'll get you.
Missy claims she knew of only one policy for $50,000 that Garrett had gotten just weeks after their baby's birth.
He said, my dad had life insurance on me and that's how I bought my first car.
It was drilled into his head. If you have children, you must get life insurance.
Who buys life insurance on a baby?
A lot of people buy life insurance on babies. This is something that is sent to mothers of newborn babies.
It's to replace an income that's lost. That's the purpose of life insurance. What income is an infant going to give a parent?
After Garrett Michael died, his father had an enormous payday from the life insurance companies, $150,000.
He blew through the proceeds from Garrett Michael in 3 months. He just spent it all.
Prosecutor Doug Gansler.
This was blood money.
It was blood money, and he went out, bought cars and furniture and paid off some debts.
Did Missy benefit as well? Did she spend any of that money?
Oh, I believe so.
John Farley has been friends with Garrett since childhood.
They moved from a townhouse to a very large house, and she drove a Saab. They were both living very well after Garrett Michael died.
Missy didn't know, or said she didn't even know, that he had that much insurance on the baby, which always puzzled me.
True crime writer Adrian Haville set out to solve this puzzle in his latest book, While Innocence Slept.
I don't know where she thought all that money came from.
Garrett told me when he was made a manager. The store made $1 million worth of sales a year, and he was paid a very high commission.
That's what Missy says she believed they were spending. But today, she has no doubt.
Garrett killed the baby for insurance money.
I can't believe that someone could kill their babies, not Garrett.
Every other piece of evidence pointed inextricably toward Garrett Wilson being the murderer.
And authorities were shocked to discover
he didn't just do this once, he did this twice. Not one baby died, but two babies died.
Garrett Wilson had another baby who had died mysteriously years before he met Missy.
There were a lot of dots to connect. We were able to connect them, and it painted a horrible picture.
Back in 1981, Garrett was only 24 and married to Debbie Oliver. The young couple had a baby girl together named Brandy Jean.
Brandy was born in 1981 and also died in 1981. I think it was just very traumatic for Debbie.
Brandy Jean was only 2 months old. And as in the case of Garrett Michael, officials ruled that she had died of sudden infant death syndrome.
Both cases were so similar. There was this common thread, and that thread was Garrett Wilson.
In 1981, Garrett took out two life insurance policies on Brandy Jean, as he would later on his baby boy.
instead of me going out soliciting a sale, there's one that came to me.
George Smith was just starting out in the insurance business when he met Garrett weeks after Brandy Jean's birth.
He asked for a $30,000 policy for Brandy.
At the time, he had no idea Garrett had also gotten a $10,000 policy from another agent.
When we first wrote this, I don't think Debbie even knew this was being written.
And just hours after Brandy Jean was pronounced dead,
he seemed very anxious to get the money.
Garrett called George Smith.
And to tell me, I didn't know who else to call. Seemed just out of line.
After Brandy Jean dies, one of the first phone calls Garrett reportedly makes is not to you, his best friend. It's to his life insurance agent.
I did not know that.
Does it make you wonder?
Makes me wonder.
Something was wrong. I knew it. This little girl shouldn't have died.
And his instincts told Smith to hold on to Brandy Jean's file.
At least 15 years he'd held on to it. Way out of the norm of what an insurance agent holds on to these files.
How many files had you set aside like this?
Just this one. I just had that feeling that it was a wrongful death.
It was our view that Garrett Wilson's murder of Brandy Jean was this horrible dress rehearsal, that he would then do it again to Garrett Michael.
But in both cases,
those two autopsy reports were a major stumbling block.
Sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, was the official cause of death.
Garrett Michael died, he was murdered, and they called it SIDS. And it's covered it up for so many years. And a murderer got away with it, until now.
Coming up.
We needed to make sure that they knew, in fact, it was not a SIDS death.
A remarkable attempt.
It's absolutely categorically a homicide.
To reverse two autopsies.
This was a child who was just snuffed out.
That's next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Garrett Michael died. He was murdered and they called it SIDS. And it's covered it up for so many years. And a murderer got away with it. Until now.
In 1998, Missy Anastasia of Rockville, Maryland, was about to get what she believed was justice. After 4 long years of investigation, police finally arrested her ex-husband, Garrett Wilson, and charged him with the murder of their baby boy, Garrett Michael.
The case was unable to go forward until the chief medical examiner of the state reclassified the case as a homicide.
Montgomery County prosecutor Doug Gansler.
It was not a SIDS death. They were wrong back then.
Back in 1987, after 5-month-old Garrett Michael died,
it didn't look like a murder.
Dr. Charles Kokas supervised the original autopsy.
Garrett Michael had died as a result of sudden infant death syndrome.
But more than a decade later,
I have changed my opinion regarding the cause and manner of his death.
Prosecutors from Maryland asked him to re-examine the case.
Findings clearly indicate the manner of death was homicide.
What information were you given that you didn't know when you did the first autopsy?
That this was not the first sudden infant death syndrome in this family in association with father, Garrett Wilson.
In 1981, Garrett's baby girl, 2-month-old Brandy Jean, had died of what experts also said was sudden infant death syndrome.
What are the odds of a second SIDS death involving the same parent?
they're pretty much astronomically high. Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place.
The chance of that would be 1 in 4 million.
Dr. Linda Norton of Dallas is an expert on SIDS. The prosecution approached her to review their case.
Is sudden infant death syndrome genetic?
No. We recognize that there was no genetic component.
If two or more children die in the same family, purportedly of SIDS, then there's a murderer in the family. And Garrett Wilson was that murderer.
And in 1999, Gansler set out to prove it at trial.
The trial was for the death of Garrett Michael.
But the deaths of both babies were vital to his case.
We put the 17 factors that were completely consistent together. There were so many similarities between the two deaths. We needed both cases.
I think both of these children were smothered to death, and they were smothered to death by their father.
According to Dr. Norton,
that pattern, to see it right smack dab in the middle of her face, was striking. He basically took the child, put her in the crib, face down, and just pressed.
Dr. Kokas believes Garrett Michael likely suffered a similar fate.
I think this would be considered a cruel death by anyone's definition.
In my opinion, it can't be proved as murder.
Dr. Miles Jones is a forensic pathologist from Kansas City who testified for the defense.
In the case of Brandy Jean, I believe the most appropriate cause of death is sudden infant death syndrome. Garrett Michael suffered from cerebral edema.
Brain swelling.
That's correct. Therefore, the cause of death is undetermined.
Garrett Michael had sustained some sort of global brain injury from a lack of oxygen delivery.
Dr. Kokas believes the brain swelling is evidence of suffocation.
Brain swelling, as a finding in sudden infant death syndrome, is rare. That's something that wasn't known in 1987.
The scientific evidence was critical. This was our hurdle, to be able to convince a jury that somebody would really be able to kill their own children.
I hope I never have to serve on a jury in a case like this, because I don't know what I do.
True crime writer Adrian Haville sat through the trial.
We were all sitting there saying, well, it'll be a hung jury.
But the jury,
I just didn't want to believe that a person could be capable of this.
Took just 2 hours to come back with a verdict. Guilty.
There was no doubt in my mind.
Juror Cheryl Frizzell.
After we found him guilty, I slept like a baby.
But it wasn't the medical testimony that impressed the jury most.
What was the single most important factor in you determining that he was guilty?
Missy. When she got on that stand, she was adamant.
How important was this moment for you?
Unbelievable. Because I couldn't bring baby back, but the least I could do was the person responsible, put him where he belonged.
12 years after Garrett Michael was murdered, Garrett Wilson was sentenced to life in prison without any possibility of parole.
What Missy took from my daughter is she took her father.
Vicki Wampler, Garrett's fourth wife and the mother of their daughter, Marissa.
I told her that her daddy was not coming home, that he was never coming home.
The case against Garrett Wilson is about to take another startling turn. Coming up, the dramatic development that just might set him free.
You don't see the monster in Garrett Wilson. If you didn't know what he had been accused of, you wouldn't see a murderer.
For 4 years, the man a jury was convinced murdered his baby boy has been serving out his life sentence at a Maryland state prison. Author Adrian Haville says there has been a dramatic development.
In August of 2002, the Maryland Appeals Court overturned his conviction.
The appeals court ruled that prosecution experts should not have been allowed to testify on the odds of two Sid's deaths occurring in the same family.
The chance of that would be 1 in 4 million.
Those odds, which Dr. Linda Norton testified to at trial, were based on the premise that Sid's is not genetic.
New research shows that indeed Sid's may be genetic. And there's new medical evidence on that, which the Maryland Court of Appeals cited. So they overturned the conviction. Garrett Wilson is technically an innocent man, although he's still in a maximum security prison.
What was Garrett's reaction?
When I spoke with him, he was elated, of course, and he believes that it's just a matter of time before he's going to walk out of that prison a free man.
Do you believe today that there is reasonable doubt as to whether or not he committed these murders?
Boy, that's a tough one. Did he go into that room, that little baby's room with the mobiles hanging up above it, and smother his only son?
In 2004, Garrett Wilson was retried and again found guilty of the murder of Garrett Michael. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole.